Good morning, and welcome to worship at Zion Church in Le Sueur. What a blessing it is to take time away from life's busyness and rest in God's presence. My name is Dan Brown, and I am a member of the Church Council. Welcome to Zion UCC. We are a faith community that seeks to learn, serve, and grow in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Wherever you are in life's journey, you are welcomed here. We extend a special welcome to those of you who worship with us through our radio broadcast on KCHK Radio, and to all who join online at our website, zionlesueur.com. If you are visiting Zion today, please sign the guest card found in the pews in front of you and put it in the offering plate so that our pastor can connect with you directly. Finally, please fill out our prayer requests with your joys and concerns and turn them into the ushers during the passing of the peace. Today's radio broadcast and bulletins are sponsored by Bob and Betty Brown in loving memory of Julie Brown. Thank you to all who give to this ministry. The sermon this morning is titled Invitation into Wholeness by Pastor Sana. Thank you to everyone who donated to the Strengthen the Church offering. $410 was collected. If you haven't donated and would like to, please either use the Strengthen the Church envelope or one of the spare envelopes in the pews and designate your gift to Strengthen the Church offering. Vacation Bible School, Living Stories at Water's Edge will take place June 15th to the 18th from 8:30 to 12:30 each morning. VBS is open to all children from preschool to sixth grade. Healthy snacks, lunch, will be provided each day, and you can register online on our website or contact Jackie Brown for more information. Next Sunday, June 14th, the Zion Fellowship will host an ice cream social following the worship service. There will be vanilla ice cream with lots of toppings. Come and enjoy with friends. The Zion Church Council will meet at 7 p.m. on Tuesday. On Wednesday, the fellowship breakfast will meet at 8 a.m. at the Nicollet Cafe in St. Peter. And the Ruth Circle will not meet in June. The next meeting will be on July 14th. The Zion Fellowship will meet next Sunday, June 14th, following the worship service. Please still support the fellowship's Rada Cutlery fundraiser that goes through June 30th. Every purchase helps fund upcoming church projects, and the order forms are on the table near the entryway or place your order online. Now let us prepare for worship.
What if your breakthrough was one step away, but fear was standing in the way? For 12 years, she suffered in silence. No cure, no comfort, no hope. Until one moment changed everything. Today, we're looking at one of the most powerful faith stories in the New Testament, Mark 5:25-34. For 12 years, she endured pain. She spent everything she had on doctors. Instead of getting better, she grew worse. In Jewish law, her condition made her unclean. That meant isolation, no normal relationships, no public life. She wasn't just sick, she was alone. Mark 5:26, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. Then she heard about Jesus. Crowds followed him everywhere. Miracles were happening. Hope was rising. She didn't plan a speech. She didn't ask for permission. She told herself, "If I can just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Mark 5:27-28. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, "If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." She pushed past fear, past shame, past doubt. She reached, and instantly the bleeding stopped. 12 years of pain, gone in a moment. Mark 5:29. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. But then something surprising happened. Jesus stopped. "Who touched me?" The disciples were confused. Everyone was pressing in. But this touch was different. This was faith. Mark 5:30-31. "Who touched my clothes?" thou seest the multitude thronging thee. The woman, trembling, stepped forward and told the truth. She expected rebuke. Instead, she received love. Jesus didn't call her woman. He called her daughter. Mark 5:33-34. Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Here's the lesson. Faith doesn't have to be loud to be powerful. You are never invisible to God. One act of faith can change everything. Maybe today, you just need to reach.
Good morning, Zion. Today's the second Sunday of Pentecost and also Communion Sunday. So for those that are listening, please prepare your elements. I am your pastor, now Reverend Sana del Corazon. I got ordained 2 weeks ago. We are gathered to worship God this morning. Let's prepare ourselves. I invite you to close your eyes, plant your feet, relax your shoulders, and take three deep breaths as we prepare our mind, body, and spirit. God is in this place and eager to speak to us this morning. Fall afresh on us, God, this morning.
Please join me in the call to worship. Rejoice in the Holy One. God loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of God's steadfast love.
The voice created the heavens and the earth. Praise God with loud shouts.
Rejoice in the Holy One. God loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of God's steadfast love.
Let our voices ring and sing a new song. Let us turn towards the Creator in awe.
Rejoice in the Holy One. God loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of God's steadfast love.
Happy are the people who seek God's counsel, who seek God's heart, and who seek God's kingdom. Rejoice in the Holy One. Please join us for the opening hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy. Please rise.
Thank you.
please join me in the opening prayer. Wonderful God, we delight in your presence. We find shelter in your abiding and enduring love. You humble us by gathering us as a people. Thank you for being our companion and guide on this journey. Receive our songs, prayers, and openness. Nourish us from the fountain of your word and the hospitality of your table. May we find hope and inspiration, courage and direction, community and resolve as we worship you. Amen. You may be seated for the next song, Great is Your Faithfulness, 423. Join me for the prayer of confession. Holy One, through the prophet Hosea, you declared, I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. We confess that times we offer the ritual and routine of religious practices rather than a discerning heart that breaks with compassion and beats for justice. Strengthen us to the tenderness of knowing you more deeply, loving our neighbors more justly, and embracing our lives more fully. Community of faith, rest assured that renewal and revival is possible and available to us. Let us embrace our rituals to sing even old songs as if they were new, pray routine prayers as if they have been written in our hearts, and join in worship as if it were the first or last time. God makes all things new, and that may be so in us this day and every day. Amen. Jesus said to his disciples, "Peace I leave you, peace I give you. May the peace of the Lord always be with you." Let us pass the peace with one another. Okay, I invite us into a time of prayer. And in the tradition of intercessory prayer lifted aloud in the community, I will name praises and prayers. After each petition, I will say, "Lord, in your mercy," and you are invited to say, "Hear our prayer." Join me in taking a deep breath, finding your feet on the floor as we turn our hearts to God. For this gathered body of people, God, who come here to worship you, we thank you that you have made it, we have made it here today for this service, for those seeking your presence, and for all who strive to be your church. Lord, in your mercy. For the joys of your presence in summer, we thank you for the crops that we have planted, for the seed in the soil, and even for the needed rain. Lord, in your mercy. For all those who anxiously wait to be a balm to them, whether they wait for new medical results, treatment, job interviews, answers to arrive, still their hearts so they do not worry on this day. Lord, in your mercy. For the ending and beginnings, for the presence of transition and uncertain times, for those of us seeking guidance, call us to bravery. Lord, in your mercy. Healing prayers for all that are sick, who are suffering, who are in need of care. Prayers for Pat Lehman. Lord, in your mercy. For those who live under violence of war, there are so many to name. You know each child by name, God. Protect those in the path of violence. Protect all life from human-made hunger and disaster. We especially lift the conflict in Iran, Israel, Gaza, Sudan, and those close to home. Lord, in your mercy. For the children in whose eyes we see the hopes of the future, bless them in their growing and their imagining. Help us to imagine that even greater love alongside them. Lord, in your mercy. For families facing estrangement or separation, for families separated by border or war, remind us we are one, created in your image. Lord, in your mercy. For those without shelter or home, we pray for security, for creative and compassionate solution, for generosity for those we encounter who are struggling on this day. Lord, in your mercy. Now we pray together the way Jesus taught us. Our Creator, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forget our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
The first reading today is from Psalm 33, verses 1 through 12. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous. Praise befits the upright. Praise the Lord with the lyre. Make melody to him with the harp of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully on the strings with loud shouts. For the word of the Lord is upright, and all his work is done in faithfulness. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the steadfast love of the Lord. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all their host by the breath of his mouth. He gathered the waters of the sea as in a bottle. He puts the deep into storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He frustrates the plans of the people. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The thoughts of his heart to all generations. Happy is the nation whose God is the Lord. Let the people whom he has chosen as his heritage. May God add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of this holy word. Amen.
The second and third reading for today are the same story, but by two in Mark and Matthew. So the first one is Matthew 9, 18 to 26. While he was saying these things to them, suddenly a leader came in and knelt before him, saying, "My daughter just died, but come and lay your hand on her, and she will live." And Jesus got up and followed him with his disciples. Then suddenly a woman who had been suffering from a flow of blood for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak. For she was saying to herself, "If only I touch his cloak, I will be made well." Jesus turned and seeing her said, "Take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well." And the woman was made well from that moment. When Jesus came to the leader's house and saw the flute players and crowd making commotion, he said, "Go away, for the girl is not dead but sleeping." And they laughed at him. But then the crowd had been put aside, and he went in, took her by the hand, and the girl got up. And she report of this spread through all of that district. Now Mark 21 to 43. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered around him, and he was by the sea. Then one of the leaders of the synagogue, named Jairus, came, and when he saw him, fell at his feet and pleaded with him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." So he went with him, and a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from a flow of blood for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had, and she was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. For she said, "If I but touch his cloak, I will be made well." Immediately her flow of blood stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware that power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my cloak?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you. How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" He looked all around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him, and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, some people came from the synagogue's leader's house to say, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the synagogue leader, "Do not be afraid, only believe." He allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, and the brother of James. When they came to the synagogue leader's house, he saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. When he entered, he said to them, Why do you make a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. Then he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in with the child was. Taking her by the hand, he said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And immediately the girl stood up and began to walk about. She was 12 years of age. And at this, they were overcome with amazement. He strictly ordered them that no one should know this and told them to give her something to eat. The word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. God of love and God of healing, I ask that you open our hearts and minds to receive your word this morning. May the Spirit of God speak through me and in spite of me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and redeemer. Amen. Have you ever noticed that Jesus deals with people differently depending on who they were? I'm struck by the contradictions in the gospel stories. See, Jesus seems to welcome some people with open healing hands, like the hemorrhaging woman in today's scripture. He affirms her, calling her his daughter, and announces God's grace and favor. While for others, he calls them out to change their ways and announces God's judgment and condemnation. Like the rich man who tells to sell all his possessions. Jesus announces new life and plenty to some, but to others, he asks for great sacrifice and tells them to take up their cross. An Episcopal priest named Reverend Eric Law wrote about this pattern in what he calls the cycle of gospel living, where he describes how God approaches us at different times in each of our lives. Reverend Eric Law says, Who is Jesus dealing with? Is he dealing with the powerful, for example, those who can control and manipulate their environment and have their way? Or is Jesus dealing with the powerless, those who are unable to change their world and have their way? Eric argues that when he sees Jesus through these lenses, using different approaches to individuals depending on their life circumstances and relationship to power, Jesus' actions takes on a consistency. When Jesus meets the powerless, he announces the favorable year of the Lord, the breaking of bonds, the freeing of prisoners, the healing of the sick, the forgiveness of debts and sin. Jesus announces resurrection and new life and gives the mute a voice with which to speak and space to testify. When he encounters the powerful, however, Jesus asks them to give up their power, to sell all they have, to give it to the poor, to come and die in order to live. All of us, at different times and in different settings, are found in positions of power or powerlessness. The call of the gospel varies depending on where we are at any given time in our social location. In today's scripture, found in both the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of Mark, we meet the hemorrhaging woman. Mark's version, which is the one I prefer, begins with Jesus crossing by the boat to the other side of the lake and a large crowd gathering around him. By this point, we know Jesus has a reputation, hopefully a good reputation. People have witnessed his miracles and are seeking his healing powers. Mark, whose gospel is thought to be the oldest gospel in the New Testament, wants the reader to see Jesus in action as he encounters those in need of divine deliverance. The author of Mark has a pattern in his writing. He likes starts telling a story, interrupts with the second story, and then concludes with the first story. It's called the Markian sandwich. According to biblical scholars, these stories are meant to be read together and inform each other. And we know from this story that the meat of the story, or the main story, is the story about the hemorrhaging woman. Yet these two women cannot be more different in terms of class and socioeconomic status. And this influences how they approach Jesus. For the 12-year-old daughter, her father makes a formal request to Jesus. For the bleeding woman, she pushes her way through the crowd and doesn't ask permission to receive healing. In spite of these differences, these two women have a lot in common. They are both unnamed in the Bible, like many women are. They are both referred to as daughters. Jesus calls the woman in the crowd daughter, while we know the girl as Jairus' daughter. They are both associated with the number 12. The woman has been bleeding for 12 years while the girl is 12 years old. By the way, a 12-year-old girl is considered a marriageable adult at that time. So she is a woman. Both women in very different ways express incredible faith. Both fall at the feet of Jesus. Both are in needing of healing to change the course of their lives. Both experience God's salvation and healing through Jesus. And both are considered unclean. The woman because she is bleeding, and the girl because she is dead. But why do we know that Jesus centers the marginalized and the less powerful? Because although this story begins with Jesus and Jairus and his daughter, as the story unfolds, the bleeding woman interrupts Jesus. Amid the rush to go heal the daughter, Jesus stops to look for the bleeding woman. The scripture says that Jesus insists on looking for the person who is healed. In doing so, he invites her to testify about her healing in front of her community. With fear and trembling, the woman comes before the strange man and falls to his feet, as Jairus had done a short time before. And she tells Jesus, in front of everybody, why she touched him and how she had been healed. She tells the whole truth. I imagine she shares with the community all her struggles, all her pain, all her suffering, all her feelings, all her shame, all her attempts at finding a cure. I imagine she shares how she learned about Jesus and decided to come and see him and simply touch his cloak because she believed he had the power to heal her. We don't know for sure what she said, what the whole truth was. But we know that this is a public confession. We must understand that her illness is not just a physical, debilitating illness, Can you imagine bleeding for 12 years? And that's still not unusual. I want to say women have conditions that make them bleed for 7, 12, 20 years. So it's not something that happened in the past. But the purity laws in place at that time made it that she was isolated. She was considered unclean and unable to participate in community life. And not just her, anyone who touched her became unclean. Her touching Jesus made Jesus unclean. Talk about social distancing. She lived her life like this for 12 years, isolated, in pain, without hope. So the least powerful person in this story gets healed first and healed publicly. Meanwhile, Jairus' daughter, who is privileged and has access to power, has to die to be healed. Jesus meets Jairus' daughter in private, in a small space with a small group of people, and brings her back to life. And after he heals the young girl, he instructs the family, "Tell no one," reminding us what Jesus said in Matthew 20:16, "The last shall be first, and the first shall be last." In my mind, these stories exemplify how Jesus came to turn the world upside down. The kingdom of God calls the marginalized or the powerless to be brought to the center, into community, and calls the privileged or powerful to experience death, the death of their social status. See, this story of the bleeding woman isn't just about Jesus stopping the bleeding, stopping her menstruation. He wants to bring her back into community. Jesus' healing ministry is not some individual event. Healing has to do with the mending of all creation, the restoration of all people into community, to shalom, like Pastor Mary Kay Sauter talked about last week. God created the world for shalom, for wholeness, and this is made possible through justice. And this is what Jesus was practicing, justice. Justice is served when the marginalized and powerless are centered. Justice is served when the forgotten, the hurting, the broken are restored back into wholeness. Justice invites the bleeding woman and everyone witnessing her story to live whole, healed lives, restored in community. Healing in the gospel is about restoration. And Jesus is not only restoring her physically, but bringing her back to life, bringing her back into the social and religious fold after years of isolation. It's an invitation to full participation, full community participation. Again, this healing is not a private affair. This healing involves the participation and transformation of the whole community. And when she is done testifying, Jesus sees this woman. He sees the desperation. He sees this courage. And he says, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed of your suffering." He said her faith healed her, and he called her his daughter. This is the only time recorded in the gospel that Jesus has ever addressed a woman as daughter. It is a term of endearment and affection. It is meant to ease her worries because she stained him, because she broke purity laws by touching him. Jesus sees her pain and suffering and affirms her faith and claims her as his own. "My daughter." Calling her daughter is a public affirmation of her belovedness and belonging. In this story, we see again the kingdom of God cause the powerless to be brought into community and cause the powerful and privileged to experience the death of their status. Why? So we can all have life and be made clean. There are people in Lesueur who are invisible, who are fighting for safety, dignity, and flourishing. And we know from this story that there is no one whom we think is too far gone, too dirty, too weird, too unholy, too perverse, too unconventional, that Jesus cannot and will not reach them with healing and kindness. This story teaches us that faith that is worthy of praise is a faith that is gutsy and fearless and even sometimes self-denying and subversive. So here's the challenge I have for you today. We say we are the body of Christ. We say it's God's work and our hands. And I wonder, who needs God's healing touch? Who needs to be brought back into the fold of community? Who can we, as a community, invite into wholeness, into belonging, and who we can claim as our own? Amen. I picked it. Brian was like, you know that song is short. I was like, yeah, it's fine. No, it's not fine. Okay. As we gather in the presence of God, let us acknowledge and act upon the blessings we receive and the gifts bestowed upon us. Let us give generously as we are able to fund the ministry of this gathered body and the work of the church in the world. Thank you. Please join me in the prayer of dedication. Giver, all gifts we seek to share as you have shared with us. We want to serve in the spirit of Christ. Therefore, we rededicate ourselves with this offering. We ask no more for this faith community than we would ask for all people everywhere. May we love you and one another. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. People of God, worship is a place where we practice living into the kingdom of God as we live on earth as it is in heaven. It is here at Christ's table that we remember and we practice. We practice and we remember sharing with one another because there is enough for everyone. No one is excluded from this table. This is Christ's table, and I am simply a guest host, one hungry person helping other hungry people find the bread of life. Everyone may partake. You are welcome just as you are. Let us pray. Abundant God, if we're honest, we come to this table carrying anxiety and fear about the state of our world. We come to this table seeking advice and guidance. You do not disregard our fear. You do not brush away our anxieties. You do not ignore the realities around us. You do not dish out hurtful platitudes and say nice things. Instead, you meet us here. You listen and remind us that we are not alone. You surround us with people who love us. You show us where we are strong, and you build us where we are weak. You walk beside us. As we come to this table, pour out your spirit on this bread and cup. Remind us that even in a fearful world, you are on the move through your Holy Spirit. Remind us that even in a fearful world, you are here inviting us to this table, nourishing our spirits and reminding us that we belong, calling each of us by name. We remember on the night when Jesus and the disciples had their last meal together, Jesus took the bread and gave thanks and shared it with his disciples, saying, "This is the bread of life. My broken, open, and shared with you. As often as you eat this bread, remember me." This is going to be hard. It's a hard bread. See, Larly wasn't here to pre-cut. This is what she makes me look strong, and today I'm not strong. Ah! There. This is not gluten-free. It was made at the bakery, but it's fresh from this morning. It's sourdough, I believe, As we partake in the broken bread, we dedicate ourselves to being Christ's disciples, and we become the body of Christ. In the same way, Jesus took the cup after giving thanks and gave it to the disciples, saying, "This is the cup of blessing. As often as you drink it, remember me." In the shared cup, we participate in the new life of Christ. Christ is present with us and in us wherever we go. Come forward to the altar and receive the bread and the wine. You may eat and drink as you receive the elements. If you want to receive in your seats, we will bring them to you. Come, for the table is set and the feast is ready. All are welcome to receive. Bread of life. They're big pieces. Bread of life for you. Bread of life for you. They're big pieces. Take it all. Bread of life for you. Bread of life for you. Bread of life for you. They're huge. Bread of life for you. Bread of life for you. Bread of life. Bread of life for you. Bread of life for you. bread of life. Bread of life. Bread of life for you. Bread of life. Bread of life for you. 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 You can cut a piece if you want a bread. Okay. Bread of life. Bread of life. Both received? Did you receive? You did. Okay, let me get your bread. Bread of life for you. Loving God, we gather us, you gather us together, you set the table, you meet us here, you nourish our bodies and our spirit, you remind us that this is a joyful feast where there is enough for everyone. You remind us that fear, violence, and death never have the last word. So with renewed courage, with renewed hope, with renewed conviction, send us out into the world. Help us to feed others as you have fed us. With gratitude, we pray. Amen. Let us pray together again. God, in deep gratitude for this moment, for the bread and the cup, and for these people around us, we rededicate ourselves to you, Let us depart from this place as changed people, because we have shared the living bread and cannot remain the same. Restore to us our vision and passion for serving you through others. Ask much of us, expect much from us, enable much by us. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please join me for the closing hymn. I love this song. We are marching in the light of God. Feel free to stand up and march. We decided to go short, but look, we have 2 whole minutes. We could have done the 2 verses, Brian, next time. I was going fast today. Okay, go, confident in the knowledge of God's steadfast love, assured of the healing touch of Jesus upon you, and emboldened by the transforming power of the Holy Spirit that is within each and every one of you. Go in peace.